This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about the Christian and racism. What does the Bible say about our attitude and approach toward our fellow man? I'm hearing a lot today, and if you keep up with the news, there are a lot of individuals who are claiming that there is systemic racism in the United States. Systemic means in all areas of something. If something is systematic or systemic, it's in every area of society. I deny that. There are cases of racism. There's no doubt about that. There are cases every day of individuals who act in a superior way towards someone of another race in order to hurt them or take advantage of them. No one denies that. But to say that it is systemic and to say that all white people are white supremacists is just simply not true. There have been times, friends, in our nation in which there have been dark chapters where individuals, and in many cases in the past, they were white individuals who were racist toward those who were African American. We fought an entire civil war in this country where many shed their blood to free African American slaves that were being mistreated. And there have been times in our nation in the early 1900s, and it came to a head in the 1950s and the 1960s, in which whites wanted to be separate from blacks. And that should not have been. And around the time of the 1960s, and early 1970s, there were even laws passed that made progress to bring people together. We have the 14th and 15th Amendments. We have the Voting Acts of the 1960s. We have the Civil Rights Acts of the 1960s. We have various laws being made to make sure that there is equal opportunity for all individuals. And we made progress. And I believe good progress. But now there are some evil forces at work that continue to try to divide us along color and race lines. And for some reason, it's rearing its ugly head again. And so I want to talk a little bit about the Christian and racism. On today's program, we will look at what racism is, what it is not. We will look at some causes. We will look at some results. And Lord willing, in our program next week, we will look at how we can prevent that ugly attitude that exists among people. First of all, it might be a good reminder that a person can be a racist regardless of his or her color. Racism is not confined to white people, black people, someone of another color. Anyone can have a racist attitude regardless of their gender or their color or their anything in their background. Now, there have been times in our nation where a lot of racism was among white people. That's true. But it can happen among anybody. It's an attitude. It's a heart problem. And that can be inside anyone. And I also want to say that I believe that there are actual racists and cases of racism today. And I believe it happens every day. But that doesn't mean it's systemic. That doesn't mean that every white person is a supremacist. That doesn't mean that every white person is a racist or a black person. And so it's an attitude of heart and mind of hatred toward someone else, a feeling of superiority over somebody else. That is an attitude. That's a heart problem, and that can be in anyone. But that doesn't mean if it's in someone, it's in everyone. And what I'm hearing today is that it is so prevalent that it's everywhere, and measures are being taken to overturn this supposed racism that is everywhere, and those measures are without merit, and in some cases they're actually going against established civil rights laws that we have on the books. We're moving backwards. This spring, in different college campuses around the country, there have actually been separate graduations for white people, black people, and Asian people, and other people. This spring, on various colleges and universities, there have been segregated graduations. Now, over the past 50, 60 years, we have tried to move away from that. And you may be listening this morning and lived through the period of the time of the segregated schools and the segregated bathrooms and the segregated water fountains. Do you know, friends, that in this country there is actually a move back towards segregation? It's going on. And people are actively being told that if they are a certain color, they are an oppressor. If they're another color, they are automatically oppressed. If you're a certain color, you're automatically a supremacist. If you're another color, you're not. And these divisive voices, it's ungodly, it's unbiblical, is slowly tearing this country apart. Another point that would be good to make at the beginning is that a person can be a racist without being a member of a racist organization. We don't have to be a member of the KKK, the neo-Nazi group, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Black Panthers, the White America, BLM, or anything else. You can have a racist attitude and just simply be an individual expressing your beliefs. Another thing that is hard to swallow is that in the past, and I can't speak for everyone, I just know that this has been documented among some that I know, that there are some who claim to be Christians and they even have racist attitudes. I have evidence among those who claim to be Christians even in churches of Christ in the 1960s and 1970s that wrote articles in a religious journal named the Gospel Guardian, where they encouraged segregation of whites and blacks and other damaging ideas. And so probably what happened there is they just got caught up in the culture of their day rather than staying true to what the Bible teaches. So it can happen even among the best, and we have to guard against that. Racism, we're going to define it in just a minute. Racism is not when a police officer of one color makes an arrest of someone of another color. That's not racism. That's a police officer upholding the law. Now, a police officer can certainly be a racist individual, but by simply making an arrest of someone, that does not mean he's racist. Racism is not when an employer of one color hires someone of the same color based upon qualification or merit. Again, an employer can be racist, that's true. But who he hires or she hires does not necessarily prove racism. An employer may hire based upon merit or qualification. Or has this person gone to college, or has this person learned the information to do the job? Do they have the talent to do the job? Do they have the skills to do the job? And when an employer is looking for those types of things and ends up hiring someone based upon those qualifications that happens to be of the same color, that's not racism. That's hiring based upon merit and qualification. And it's very smart to do that in many kinds of jobs. There are many kinds of jobs where you want the person that is doing the job to really know what they're doing and not base it on their skin color. The airplane pilot that is flying you really needs to know what he or she is doing. It doesn't matter their skin color. It matters everything about their qualification. The heart surgeon, the dentist, and various other kinds of physicians. These are jobs where you want the person to really know the material and to be able to actually do that. You don't care about their skin color. And yet today, I'm hearing that individuals are being hired not because of merit, but simply because of skin color. And again, we are going to damage ourselves in doing that. When a Christian says that a non-Christian, such as a Muslim, must convert to Christianity in order to be saved, or that a homosexual must repent in order to be saved, that's not racist. That is simply upholding the truth of God's word. When a person disagrees politically with another person about policies involving race or a host of other things, that's not being racist. When a person demands that U.S. law be upheld with regard to legal immigration, that's not being racist toward the illegal. That is upholding law. It doesn't matter what the skin color or the race of the lawbreaker is. We're concerned about upholding law. And if we give up on law, no country can exist without law and the enforcement thereof. No church can exist. No family can exist. No relationship can exist without law and the enforcement of it. And so people are being called racist left and right for all of these types of situations, and it's become overused and abused. It's become a word that has been watered down and meaningless, almost, and it's counterproductive. There are actual racists in our country and around the world. But when we call everybody a racist, then it becomes meaningless, and we cannot take care of the problem among those who are truly racist if everybody is called a racist. The person who suffers at the hands of a true racist is insulted when everybody's called a racist. And the vile actions of the true racist are eventually downplayed or ignored altogether. So we've got to stop this practice of calling everybody a racist who disagrees with us. Let's look now at Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary definition of racism. It is, quote, a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. In other words, I believe that I'm superior to you. I'm one color, and I believe that I'm superior to someone of another color. I am more pure than another race. I am smarter than another race. I am more intelligent than another race. I am better. I'm deserving of more. I'm superior. That's racism, and it's wrong. In Genesis chapter 1, when Adam and Eve were created by God, and much of this stems back to a belief in the Bible or not, atheists and agnostics and skeptics become communists and Marxists. And these are beliefs that divide people, but it's based upon atheism. People who believe in God and the Bible move away from racism. Now, there's an exception to that, and I'm going to talk about it in just a minute when we talk about some of the causes of racism. But generally speaking, if we are believing in the Bible, we understand that all people are created equal in the sight of God. Our founding fathers based that principle of equality on the scriptures, Judeo-Christian principles of equality. We're all made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And that never changed. Each person that was born thereafter, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and Cain had children, and they had children, and so forth. On down the line, everyone is created in the image of God. I know that because after the flood in Genesis chapter 9, Noah and his family are told not to kill. Genesis 9 verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, this is murder, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So even after the flood, when people are born, they're made in the image of God. And we find that being repeated again in James chapter 3 with regard to how we talk to one another. We need to talk to one another in a way and understand in a way that they are made in the image of God. So it's down through time. It wasn't just simply Genesis 1. We're all made in the image of God. No one is more superior than another. So let's look now at some causes of racism. Some causes of racism. And let me put out of your mind right at the very beginning the big lie that is being told today, and that is that you're born racist. Friends, you are not born racist. Racism is a belief system that is a choice that you make after you grow up. You're not born a racist. If you're born a certain color, that doesn't mean you're automatically racist. It's a choice you make to believe something. And so there are a number of causes that lead to that erroneous belief that one person is superior to another. One is ignorance and fear. There have been people who have been told that one group is superior over another, and that's not based on the Word of God. And sometimes even Scripture is twisted. Some people think, for example, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15, the mark that was given to Cain was being a black person. That's not true. Some people say that Genesis chapter 9 and verse 25, the curse of Ham, was that he became a black person. And so being black is cursed. That's just simply not true. And some people say that Genesis chapter 10 and verse 32, where it talks about the nations that come from Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and of these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Some misinterpret that to mean that you're supposed to stay away. You're supposed to be divided and stay away from people of a certain color. That's just simply not true. And the same thing in chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, when God scattered the people from building the Tower of Babel, chapter 11 and verse 8, that is somehow a defense to stay away from people of a certain color. No, they were scattered not because certain colors are bad, but because they were building something that they shouldn't have been building and for a purpose that they should not have been building it. So this idea that black people are cursed by God and separated from white people is a misuse of Scripture, and it's based upon ignorance and fear, and it is taught by adults to young people, and we will get to that in just a minute. This idea that black people are inferior and white people are superior, that was actually something that was taught by Charles Darwin and his student, Thomas Huxley. And they actually said and are on record, Darwin and Huxley, that mankind, white man, is superior to black man. Thomas Huxley said around 1872, he said, quote, "No rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. It is simply incredible to think that he will be able to compete successfully with his bigger-brained and smaller-jawed rival in a contest which is to be carried on by thoughts and not by bites." It's hard for us to imagine somebody saying that, but he actually said that. And so the theory of evolution actually promoted this idea of white superiority over blacks. God made mankind in his image. And listen carefully. In the DNA makeup of mankind, of Adam and Eve, there is the ability for there to be a wide variety of physical aspects in men and women. Height differences, weight differences, hair, color of hair differences, styles of hair, not styles of hair in the sense of combing your hair, but the formation of hair, eye color, eye shape, skin color. That is in the DNA of mankind, and just like there can be a variety of roses, and there can be a variety of cattle and a variety of maple trees, you can have a variety of human beings. And with regard to skin color, that's all that is. It is a variety in the makeup of the skin. It does not mean one person is superior over another person. Just like the shape of their eyes don't mean anything, and the color of their hair or the kind of hair that they have, that means nothing. All it means is that God creates in mankind the ability for DNA to have a wide variety in those physical aspects of a human being. But some have taken skin color and have made it what it never was made to be. Another cause of racism is pride and prejudice. People are proud and they think that they're better than other people. And pride is so prevalent in aspects of society, but it will bring a person down and those around them. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we will destroy each other and we will fall apart. We saw that in the 1950s and the 1960s, the riots and the mistreatment of individuals based upon skin color, treating them like second-class citizens or animals. It was terrible. And so you destroy people with pride. And we've got to be very careful about that kind of thing. Well, where does all this come from? The ignorance and the fear and the pride and the prejudice. Well, the third cause of racism is hatred that is taught from a person's youth on up. Children are taught to hate people of another color. They hear it from their parents, their grown-up parents, and their grown-up friends. It's terrible. A little white child does not come into this world hating a black child and vice versa. It's taught. And it's terrible. And so people teach hate and anger and prejudice. And the little children that are in a home with racist, truly racist parents, they grow up hearing that and they become that themselves. And that was one of the biggest problems of racism in this country, and it manifested itself particularly in the South in the 1950s and 1960s, and many of those children were taught by their parents to hate those of another color. And it's just terrible. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse 8, "But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth," and so forth. That's a part of the old man, the sinful old man, and it's in many people, even today. I wouldn't say it's systemic, but it's still in many people, and they are teaching the younger generations to be that way. And it's just terrible. Hate and anger and malice, it's a work of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 and 20, it's to be put away. Ephesians 4, 31 and Colossians 3, 8. It's wrong. It's sinful. And if a person has been taught that by adults, shame on those adults for teaching that. I was not taught that way. I was raised by parents who were Christians, and I was raised to follow the Word of God, and I was raised to become a Christian myself. I wasn't taught to hate someone of another color. My father preached over 60 years to Hispanics, preached in Spanish to Hispanics. All I knew was that they were exactly like I was. It doesn't matter their skin color. We're all the same. That's how I was taught, but not everybody's taught that way. I'm hearing today that because I'm a certain color, I'm automatically racist. No, I am what I am because I was taught to follow the Word of God from my youth. And when you're taught to follow the Word of God, you learn that everyone is equal in the sight of God. Titus 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "We were once foolish," and this whole thing is foolish. "Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." Paul was taught that, and he had to make a change later. And so, it's a sad situation. And then last of all, stereotyping, where we grow up and we stereotype someone. We see them from a distance, and we say that they're such and such, and we don't even know anything about them. We don't know their character. We don't know their heart. We don't know what they believe. We don't know what they stand for. But we stereotype them and we say we're better than them because we just simply see them as a certain skin color or that type of thing. Well, we're out of time. I wanted to talk about the Christian and racism and to talk about what the Bible says. Lord willing, we will look at some more of these things next week. Please tune in, and let's always follow what the Word of God says about these matters and never what our culture says. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.